Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday,
Becoming community.
Yes,
y'all. We're here. We are officially kicking off our month of love, dating, relationships, marriage, parenting, all the things pertaining to love. And we're going to kick it off first, okay? So we're talking love lessons today, y'all. I hope you're ready. But first off, how you doing, Toya?
I think I'm doing pretty good. You know, sometimes when you look at your calendar for like the month and you get like exhausted just looking at like all the things. So I'm like, I got a conference. I got to present at a conference out of town. I've got PD sessions. I've got, it's just Girl Scout things. It's just cookie booths.
Yes.
All the things in school. I'm just like, Lord.
PD sessions.
Professional development.
Oh, okay. I was like, PD. Okay.
I'm like, Lord. Yes. I just get exhausted.
Yeah.
Looking at my calendar of all the things. But I think I'm at an 8.
Okay.
God is gracing me.
Amen. So I'm at an 8. For the 8.
In spite of all the things.
Amen. God is faithful. I love that.
What about you?
I'm going to say I'm at an 8 as well. I mean, I feel like the week is off. You know, it's been a good week. So I feel like I have clarity of mind, which is always great. You know, in the midst of the busyness and at times feeling overwhelmed, I feel like I've had a moment to step back, or I know when to step back and be like, okay, we're focusing on one day at a time, or we're focusing on this task right in front of me. If I can't focus on the one day at a time, and I'm really excited, I'm really expectant about this year. So I will go with an 8 as well. And yeah, we're just going to keep the momentum going. Yeah. So as I mentioned, we're talking love lessons this week, and we're going to hit all the stages, you know, at least all the stages that we personally have experienced, and kind of help lay a foundation for the couples that you will be hearing from this month, you know, in their various stages. Okay. And I really personally, I mean, I know, you know, when you think about love, you quickly think about like a partner. You're immediately thinking about, who are you loving? Who's experiencing this love? But I will say, for me personally, I have really come to understand the importance of self-love. Mm-hmm. Like really, really understanding how, like, if you can't love yourself, like you really can't love anyone else. And even thinking about the scripture of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think in order for you to love yourself, you have to, of course, know that God loves you. So let's start there. Let's really start there. And we're going to talk about self-esteem. We're going to talk about self-love. We're going to talk about self-care. So can you share, what are some lessons that you have learned or maybe learning? Because y'all, we are all in process. So what are some lessons that you either have learned or are learning regarding like self-love, self-esteem?
Yes. Ooh, that's a tough one. I will say lessons that I'm currently learning and have learned are, it's okay to put myself first. Mm-hmm. It's not selfish. Mm-hmm. And because I have four kids, I feel like as moms, sometimes we put our needs on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to tell myself, today I'm choosing myself first.
Amen.
I'm choosing myself first. Like, I know you have homework to do. I know dinner needs to be made, but I'm going on a walk.
Amen.
I'm going on a walk. Amen. Or,
yeah.
You know, homework will be there. We'll get it done. Like, you'll be all right in life. Mm-hmm. so sometimes I think for me, or as a mom, sometimes we feel like we can't choose ourselves first and selfish, but I'm learning that it's okay to choose yourself first.
Yeah.
And sometimes that looks like making sure like you're eating healthy, like being good to your body, making good choices, drinking your water, eating your fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're just so busy, we want to grab like some chips and like unhealthy things, but just being really intentional about loving yourself, loving your body. Mm-hmm. And I would also say, it's okay to say no. You can't participate in everything. So that is a lesson that I have been learning. I'm still learning to say no, because I tend to take on a lot of things. And so because I'm gifted and talented, I don't need to be so stretched thin. Just because I can do it doesn't necessarily mean that I should do it. So that is a lesson that I think I'm constantly learning and being reminded. And also learning that it's okay to go for your dreams too at the same time.
Amen.
Like you can be ambitious. You can go for your dreams. You can have a family. You can have a husband. You can do all the things with the grace of God. So those are some things I feel like that I've been learning for self-love for me.
That's so good. That's really good. That's good, y'all. Yeah, I'm just processing that. That's just, really good. I will say for me, a lot of what you said really resonates with me. That word no, N-O, is a game changer. And here's the thing. I'm going to take it a step further. Guess what? It's a complete sentence. Meaning you don't have to give a reason why. You don't have to explain yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally,
No.
You know?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can say I'm sorry. You can say I'm not available. It doesn't have to be a but. There doesn't have to be a dot, dot, dot. Like, literally, let it be what it's going to be. Because that's it, you know? And there's freedom in that. So I would say that's a huge one. I would say also setting boundaries. And that kind of goes with the no, but nowadays I choose my words very carefully. So if I'm going to commit to something, I am really going to follow through with it, you know, and I'm going to be clear in what I'm exactly committing to, which means I'm not going to run the thing, even though I can. I'm not going to, unless it's my thing, unless I'm owning it, unless, you know, I've committed to that, or if it's my brainchild. But if someone wants to come alongside and, like you said, they know what you're capable of, they know what you're gifted in, and they're just like, ooh, so-and-so can help. And yes, they can, but are they available? Are they able to? And so really being clear about what I'm committing to when I do say yes, on the other side of, you know, saying no at times. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like too, sometimes people try to take advantage of you when they know that you are gifted in certain things.
Absolutely.
And they'll say, oh, but you're good at this.
Exactly.
Can you do this? And I think it's important to let them have ownership and make sure that they are collaborating and contributing to it, and that you're not doing all the, you know, the hard labor and the manpower and thinking through everything. Like, yes, I can do it, but you're capable too. You just have to put forth a little effort and try.
Exactly. And that's okay. That's really okay. So yeah, I would say that's really key. I'm going to go all the way back to the whole loving yourself piece. I think it's really important. I think in a lot of cases, we just kind of assume that people automatically love themselves, and that may not always be the case. So I just want to encourage those of you that are really like struggling in that area. And honestly, you may not even realize you're struggling in that area. Here's why I'm bringing it back, because I think in some cases people do all the things because they're trying to fill a void. Because they want to be wanted, they need to be needed, because it's a part of their identity. And quite honestly, they're afraid of what's going to happen and how they're going to feel if they actually be still. Because that's when the thoughts creep in, like, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not this. You're not that. Why haven't you done this yet? Why don't you have that yet? Like, literally, that's when all of that creeps in, which is oftentimes why a lot of us keep busy, because we're running from that. And so when you decide to say no, when you start to realize, okay, hey, I've got to slow down physically because my body literally won't allow it, but you're afraid of what will come to the surface mentally and emotionally, that's when it's really important to really tap into the love of God. And I say that because tapping into the love of God has to be intentional. First and foremost, we have to accept his love, you know? And I think that looks like, first of all, like really studying his word and reading about his love for us. What does that mean? What does that look like? And then really asking God to like help you receive it, you know, like help you embrace it. And understanding that his love is not predicated on anything that you could do, anything that you've already done or anything you could ever do. And I think once you're able to embrace that, the fact that that is truly unconditional love, then you'll realize that you don't have to perform for anyone else. You don't have to do anything else to get, you shouldn't, I will say, you have to do anything else to get other people's love. But it has to start with God, and you have to be willing to embrace those awkward moments when those potential thoughts or emotions could rise to the surface and combat them with the word of God. Like, I think that's extremely important and foundational, because oftentimes we don't want to admit the true root behind why we're busy. Like, we almost wear busyness like it's a badge of honor, and it's not. It's just not. So yeah, I just want to share that tidbit. Before we move on, talk a little bit about self-care, which should be in response to you loving yourself, you know? Yes.
I definitely think self-care is a daily practice. Mm-hmm. You have to incorporate it in your daily life, no mm-hmm. matter our busy schedules. Mm-hmm. For me, self-care can look like, I'm going to take a bath.
Amen.
I'm going to put lotion on my legs.
Amen for the lotion.
Listen, no, you know, for kids, look. You be like, sometimes you like, we ripping and running.
Look, no. I was going to say, kids are not. Lotion is one of those things you need to take time for.
Put your lotion on.
Yeah.
Put it on your legs, amen. Your ankles, your feet, your knees, yeah. Your arms.
Hit all the spots, right, Toya?
Because some, like, ooh, let me tell you.
I love it.
My sister had to check me on that one. Like, what is going on amen. With your hands?
Amen.
With your hands? I felt, you know, a little.
It's okay.
I felt a little something.
But sisters can do that.
She was like, okay. Girl, look at your hands. And then she started buying me this stuff from Trader Joe's, mm-hmm. body butter, because mm-hmm. I get eczema like mm-hmm. this time of year. Mm-hmm. And the body butter is like really good. That's great for eczema.
Amen.
So I'm not putting a plug in there for Trader Joe's, because they need to pay us for that.
I know. Fact. But
hilarious. That's what I use mm-hmm. for the eczema and stuff on my hands. But mm-hmm. she was like, what is going on with your hands? I was like, I got these kids to put the lotion on. But yes, put the lotion on your hands, yeah. Put it on your ankles.
Massage it.
Everything. Okay?
Moisturize
that is self-care.
Yeah.
Taking a bath. Yeah. Like, it's the little things. Being able to, like, read just mm-hmm. for pleasure. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Drinking your water.
Yeah.
Walking. Like, I've really been intentional. I feel like over the last year and a half, like making sure I'm drinking my big gallon of water.
Amen.
Every day, and incorporating, now I'm up to about 4 to 5 miles. I would say 5 to 6 times mm-hmm. a week I'm just like walking.
Amen.
And that's usually like the best form of exercise. And to me, that's self-care despite busy schedules. Mm-hmm. Like if I can go outside and walk, I try to do that.
Yeah.
If I can't, I have a standing desk mm-hmm. and a walking pad. Mm-hmm. And so I'm usually walking while I'm working, walking while you work,
amen.
Walking while I'm in the meetings when I don't have to really participate that much, mm-hmm. when I'm just like listening, like, let me get some steps in while I'm, you know, and I can type, I can email and walk at the same time, but you know, don't go too fast because you might fall off, but
on camera, don't go
too fast now.
Be like, hilarious.
LaToya, you okay? No, go a little slow.
That's hilarious.
But you can get your 4 or 5 miles in there just like walking. Sometimes I kind of like get into a rhythm and I forget. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, snap.
That's excellent.
I've been walking for 4 or 5 miles. Like, it's just implementing it. And when you have a busy schedule like I do, you gotta still make time for it. You gotta figure it out. Because now, like in the mornings, our mornings are busy. We get up with devotion and prayer, then it's getting kids ready and dressed for school. Then I try to do like some weights and some functional exercises, and then bam, it's time for work. 8 o'clock in the morning. And thankfully, my husband makes me breakfast almost every day. So
I love that.
I'm able to eat a healthy meal.
Amen.
And get started my day and try to incorporate the exercise. But when the weather is great, I love going outside.
Yeah.
Just to take my time and walk. So those are some things that I do for self-care.
I love it.
In the midst of a busy schedule.
And you're getting it in. I'm proud of you. Like, you're getting it in. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I mean, you hit all on the physical, you know, how you treat your body, what you put in your body. You know, I kind of go through all those different areas that we talked about with goal setting. You know, how do I care for myself emotionally? How do I care for myself mentally? How am I caring for myself socially? How am I caring for myself financially? All of those great things, because it's all connected and it will manifest itself in different ways. So if it is reading a book, if it is making sure that you have people that you can vent to, that you can talk to, that you can express yourself to, you know, on a consistent basis, like unedited, am I saying that right? Unedited, there we go, unedited, put too many of these, all at the same, you know, having that, you know, like what kind of space are you in, being mindful, like, okay, do I need to, you know, limit my social media intake? Do I need to limit my screen time? Do I need to limit my media intake? Like literally being mindful of things that may negatively impact you and how you can monitor that, or how you can switch it up so that you're bringing in more positive than negative, you know? And we say all of that because you have nothing to give anyone if you don't first, like, fill your cup, you know, and you have to be intentional about it. That's not a luxury. That's not a, ooh, you know, every once in a blue moon. But it's like, no, that has to be as consistent, if not more, than how much you're giving out to other people, whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's your, you know, ministry, whatever. You have to make sure that whatever, that you are being consistent and intentional about filling your cup as much, if not more, than how often you're giving out. So self-care is key, y'all. And that is a reflection. It should be a reflection of your love for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. And if you don't care for yourself, you can't care for others.
That's so true, true, true.
Anything else for lessons on self-love?
I think those are great. I think we hit all the main points for self-love and good self-care. Stuff.
Very good. All right. So let's move on to lessons in dating. Lessons that we have learned regarding dating. I'll say love lessons that we have learned regarding dating. You want to kick us off, Toya?
Sure.
Okay.
Woo. It seems like forever. And time just moves so fast. Yeah. Seems like forever since I was in the dating world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking about lessons in dating, I feel like I was reflecting more so on what I learned, what love wasn't, in my experiences with dating.
Hey.
So for me, I know that I learned that love is not abuse, or love is not control. And I also learned from my experience that when another person puts you as an idol and really puts you as first or their God, or will say things like, I can't live without you. And then they may get angry or controlling if they see you talking to another man or another person, or jealous of your friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've experienced that too. And I think when I was at that age, I was really young. So I was inexperienced and very naive to what love was. And that was like such an eye-opening experience for me, because I was able to learn what love wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, at first, it could seem charming. It could seem like, ooh, like, he thinks you're like this amazing. And like, you are an amazing human being.
Yeah.
But nobody should put you above God and really idol you ever, because that space and place is for God.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a relationship where it can be abusive or controlling, I think you need to heed those red flags and warning signs before it gets dangerous or too late, or it turns into physical abuse. Because if someone is abusing you verbally and mentally, the next steps are typically physical, and that, and what that could look like, and what it looked like in my life, punching holes in walls, like near my face. So that, to me, and I didn't run then when that happened. But if that kind of stuff is happening, get out, run. Even if they say they're gonna like kill themselves, which is kind of scary when they start to say things like, I'm gonna kill myself if I can't have you, or I don't want you, or I don't want anyone else to have you.
Yeah.
It's like Fatal Attraction type of stuff. Y'all know that show, Fatal Attraction.
Yep.
I felt like when I watch those episodes, sometimes I'm like, that could have been me.
My Lord.
That could have been me.
My Lord.
But thank God, like, he got me out of that situation.
Yeah.
And then even another situation that I can say is, when you're on the path of righteousness and holiness, sometimes God, the enemy will send you a counterfeit. And there's wolves in sheep clothing. And sometimes you don't figure that out until like a year into it, 2 years into it, 3 years, sometimes 3 years. But when that wolf comes out and you see like those true colors, run, get out. Because I felt like when I really started walking the path of righteousness and going back to God's path, and I thought I had found the one, until like it ended up being an abusive situation where like he put his hands around my neck and choked me and essentially was squeezing my neck, and I had like bruises around my neck for several weeks after that incident. And it was hard for me to really understand how we got to that point, because I never saw red flags that he was abusive. So that was kind of scary. So I would say it's super important to really be in your prayer closet, no matter who you're dating, and no matter if you date them, you meet them in a church, at a church event or a conference, you still need guidance of the Holy Spirit and discernment to know if that person is the person you're supposed to date. So I know I learned the ways in which God speaks to me uniquely through those different dating experiences. And also, I think it's important to have like someone above you, a spiritual counselor to help guide you as you're figuring out. And, you know, this world is a little different, but God still speaks clearly to his people. So we may not have had the dating apps and all of that stuff that you all have today, but God still speaks. So listen to God's voice is what I will say as far as some lessons that I have learned.
Can you, I mean, the counterfeit piece is real and it's real. And sadly, I mean, it's a lot of counterfeits in these churches. So, I mean, I hate that, but it's real. So can you speak to other ways that you can help to identify a counterfeit, whether or not a person is a counterfeit?
So when in this relationship, I would say for a whole year, I was praying and asking God if this person was my spouse, my husband. Like, and I was like, speak to me clearly. Give me sign. Like, and I feel like God was speaking to me throughout the entire year once I went back and looked at the year, like after we ended it. And I was like, oh, wow, God was speaking to me. I was just not listening or seeing the ways in which he was showing me that he was answering my prayer. Like, it was a no early on in the year that I was praying about it. But then when it became physical, that same day, I was on the airplane on the way home, and I was like, God, today is the day. Speak to me clearly if he is the one, without a shadow of a doubt, when I get back to Atlanta. And so that was the night that it became physical. And during the whole interaction, when he was at the point where he was choking me, he pushed me down some stairs, some concrete stairs. But at the point that he was choking me, like, his eyes looked different. They were, it was like black. That's the only way I can describe it.
Demonic.
To this day. It was like
no other way.
And like literally choking me, and you could see the eyes. It was like not him. And I was like, and of course, like, I fought him off, of course. And I was like, whoa. Like, it was such a shock to me that that happened. And of course, you know, I was like, get out. You know, like, get out of the house. You know, we ended it after that. But it was hard for me to kind of process what happened, because I was like, but God, you know, like, we've been going to Bible study together. We read scriptures. We're, you know, we're not having sex. We're waiting till marriage. Like, all the things that you would think you would do, like, when you are waiting on God to engage in sex. Like, we were doing those things. But he was struggling with, like, pornography and different things like that, that I saw in that whole year that I was like, God, is he the one? And then I caught him watching pornography, and I was like, what are you watching? Like, so I felt like it was a spiritual thing in that moment when I saw his eyes. And I was like, okay, God, you're telling me clearly. He is not the one, because I always said I would never be with someone who would put their hands on me. And if you want more details, you can check it out in my book.
Hey, that was a nice little teaser.
The One Who Restores. The One Who Restores. So you can check that out on Amazon. And And you'll find that out in my book on the story and the journey of how I met my now husband, Ryan.
Yeah.
And how God even redeemed the time.
Yes.
Because before that, I dated him for 4 years. And with my current husband, Ryan, we dated, courted, got proposed and got married all within the time span of 1 year.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, after that 4 year relationship, I was like, God, I don't know if I can do another long relationship of getting to know their families and all the things. It's like, I don't know if I got it in me, God. And so I was like, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be good. And so, you know, God knows what we need in our different seasons. And he redeemed the time and restored and sped things up, like supernaturally sped things up, like everything. But I would say, I hope I answered your question.
I think you did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, put it in the chat if you have another question or if she didn't, if you need more clarity. But yeah, I think you did. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. Yeah. So I would say for me, love lessons in dating. The first thing that pops in my mind is like, do not mistake charisma for character. I think it's very easy, especially, and honestly, it's probably gotten worse in this day and age where people put forth a representative. They put forth this image. They put forth this. And of course, I get it. You always want to put your best foot forward, you know, but if they do not have the character to back it up, meaning if they don't do what they say they're going to do, that's just integrity 101, you know, if they are defensive, if they have secret or hidden sin, if they are not submitted to someone else, if there's not a man in their life already that can tell them no and they listen, I don't care what age. I don't care how old they are. That's, you know, something to pay attention to. If they are not in healthy community already, that is definitely something to pay attention to. You really want to be mindful of who this person is already around, how they conduct themselves away from you when they're not with you, what their relationship is like with their family, what their relationship is like with their friends, what kind of friends they have. Like, I feel like all of those are telltale signs. I've also learned that you cannot fix or change someone. I think we oftentimes like to look and be like, oh, they'll be really great if dot, dot, dot. And okay, that dot, dot, dot right there. Like, if they're not that person now, and God can do whatever he wants supernaturally, but you, especially if you're about to, you know, commit to like a monogamous leading to marriage relationship, you have to be okay with, okay, if this person never changes in this area, am I going to be okay with that? Am I still willing to, you know, do life with this person? And so, yeah, you cannot change people. Only the Lord, the Holy Spirit can do that, like for real. But yeah, be mindful of who they're around. Focus on character over charisma, and make sure that their actions are aligning with their words, like for real, for real. I will say also too, like, don't despise small beginnings. And when I say small beginnings, I mean, you know, I think oftentimes we want everything all at once. And I remember, I remember my husband asking me, we weren't even dating at the time. I think he was quizzing me, probably checking out to see if, you know, if he wanted to date me or whatever. I remember him asking me like, hey, do you want to date somebody that already has everything together and you just kind of walk into it? Or do you want to build with somebody? And I said I wanted to build with somebody, but that's just me. Like, I am an invested person. Like, I like to have input. I like to be a team player. I like to collaborate. Like, I really consider marriage to be a partnership. And so, you know, that's what I said, not realizing that we would soon start dating and end up getting married. But I say don't despise small beginnings because, like, we was on a struggle bus when we first started dating, you know, and honestly for the first couple years of our marriage. But at the same time, I saw his character, I saw his work ethic, I saw his faith, his relationship with God, like all of that. You know, it's easy to see or get an idea, a glimpse of a person when they have everything, but how do they respond? How do they react when they have nothing, or when they're being challenged, or when they're going through the fire, or, you know, like, how do they respond in those seasons as well? So I think that's super important and I'm not saying everybody has to be okay with, like, I'm not saying marry somebody that has absolutely nothing.
Because, baby, if I'm getting married at 50, we're not building together. You gotta cook.
You gotta have something. You gotta have something. But at the end of, like, you should have stability at that age. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You should have stability at that age. So I'm not saying, like, they're sleeping on their mom's couch or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, like, and to your point, you know, depending on what age you're at, you know, I'm just thinking in my mind, if I was 50, in my 50s or my 60s, I built at that point. So I don't necessarily want to build together, but I do still want to be your partner.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to come into a marriage where your name is on everything. You make all the decisions. There's no, like, you know what I mean?
Because
you built everything. Do you get what I'm saying? And so if there's not an opportunity for me to collaborate, and there's not an opportunity for me to sharpen you and you to sharpen me, then I'm kind of like, okay, I can sit here and look cute, but I'm much more than arm candy, baby. Like, I just am. And so that's what I mean when I say, like, build together. Like, marriage is a partnership, and it looks different in different stages, to your point. So, like, in your 50s and 60s, building together may look differently, but you still want to make sure that you're building a legacy. You still want to make sure that you are, you know, like, building, even if it's in ministry or what have you, like, you want to make sure that your partnership, there's a purpose behind your partnership, and that you're able to collaborate in that partnership. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying, though.
We started small, too, y'all. Real small.
I get what you're saying.
He had his bachelor house.
I mean, yeah, but
yeah, it was cool.
You want to make sure, don't despise that.
Yeah.
And again, God will have to make it clear if you're meant to go through that. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But here's the reality. I don't care what age you get married. Hard times are going to come.
That's true.
You get what I'm saying? So you want to make sure that this person has the inner fortitude to handle when those hard times come, and that their identity and their security is not in their possessions, is not in their title, is not in their bank account. It's not, like, literally, it has to be in Christ, and it has to be in Christ with or without you, like, for real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say that. I think that's it. But yeah, in this day and age, especially, I know people are super big on image, and I get it. But at the end of the day, it's image. Like, you want to actually like the person that you are in a relationship with, not just look good with them. You know what I mean? Like, you want to, like them as a person. Mm-hmm. You want them to be a friend as well as a lover. Like, all of that is super important, because when the lights go out, when you get home from your event, when you sitting in a car, whatever, like, literally, you want to make sure that the behind the scenes is better than what people even see, instead of vice versa. Because nowadays, what people see is, like, better than
when you got your bonnet on.
All of that. Like, you want to make sure. I'm telling you, don't get caught up.
You better love me with this bonnet on, baby.
And these feet, it's real. Don't get caught up in what you see, even in other couples.
Yes.
Relationship goals. I don't know what your relationship is really like. I know what your picture look like.
Uh-huh.
I know what your Christmas card look like, but I don't know what your, so I don't want what you want. I want what God has for me.
Yep.
So, like, really, 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 character over charisma, definitely say that. And Yeah, just don't be moved by the image piece. All that's great and stuff, but you want to make sure that they are like legit. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else on dating?
I think we covered it.
Yes. Okay. Marriage. What have we learned? Are we learning? Love lessons we have learned or are learning regarding marriage.
Ooh. Okay. So dating, I was like, I know what love isn't. But marriage, I can truly say I know what love is.
Oh, amen.
So marriage, it is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, yeah. But it is so hard.
Yeah.
And so love lessons that I've learned. Man, I have learned to sacrifice.
Mm.
And it could look like different things. Sacrificing sleep,
mm-hmm.
getting up early. Like I mentioned earlier, like my husband prepares breakfast for me almost every day. We both get up early to do our devotion and prayer together. But he also is really essential in helping getting the kids dressed for school when he knows that I'm working out. Like, he gives that to me. So awesome. I think love is like a balance, like a give and take. Like,
mm-hmm.
we both have very busy lives, and sometimes he goes out of town. Sometimes I go out of town for work. He goes out for track yeah. stars. Like, we have to give and take. It's not one yeah. person carrying the heavy load, especially when you have kids. There's mm-hmm. it's so many layers to that, and schedules, and mm-hmm. well, I want some time to myself. We have to work together. It's definitely a partnership,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's essential to really keep God at the center
of your marriage.
Because this life is going to throw so many yeah. curveballs at you, and yeah. you have to learn to duck and dive
mm-hmm.
yeah. and ride the waves of the different seasons
yeah.
of life. And you need your, like, you need your ride or die person to ride the waves. And you guys, if you've been listening to our show, you know I've been alluding to, like, this we've been in a struggle season for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have learned to ride the waves
Amen.
Together
Amen.
Through the different stresses mm-hmm. of life
mm-hmm.
and to even utilize outside counsel and mm-hmm. marriage counseling and therapy to really
yeah.
help, because you got to make time for, like, the mental part of marriage too, and making sure that you're still on one accord and that you're going in the same direction. And truly yeah. Having time even for intimacy, mm-hmm. I think is extremely important.
Absolutely.
In a marriage. And just remembering what it was like in the honeymoon stages, that first year. Like, don't forget what that was like, Lord. Look at the photo albums a lot, all the
there
time.
There you go. There
I
you
do.
Go.
I do, like, ooh, remember
hey,
this?
Whatever it takes, girl.
This
whatever
is when
it takes.
We were kidless and going on a cruise. Look how young and vibrant we look.
You still Lord, look young Jesus. And vibrant. Hallelujah.
Look at us. Look at that tight stomach. Now, baby, you gotta love all this. After I didn't get you 4 kids,
amen.
You know,
love it all.
You gotta love it all. Love it all.
Yes.
And love through the changes, because
yeah.
your body is going to change. You're gonna age. You're gonna get old. Like, you gotta love, like, through the gray hairs. And, like, Ryan, like, he's been gray forever, but he kept, like, he kept dying. And I was like, babe, I like your gray beard.
Oh,
leave it.
Look at you.
Leave it. It's okay.
Oh,
like, you know.
I love that.
Like,
I like your gravy and rice. Yeah. Why do you feel like you gotta diet all the time? Like every time he's getting ready to do an event. So he's like, I gotta look young. Like, I was like, babe, it's okay. Oh. I got gray hair too. You will see them popping out. We just getting old. Like, you gotta love it.
Yeah.
Through the challenges, just loving it.
Yeah.
Ooh, those are some of my
beautiful
lessons that I'm learning.
Say that last sentence one more time.
Which
sentence? You said through the challenges, loving it.
Yes, you've got to. When the Bible says to be content in every situation, you have to find ways to be content.
Yeah.
When the bank account is looking low, or when one person is struggling to find work and income, you still have to find ways to be content, because you are still blessed. Amen. God is still supplying all of your needs. Like, we have never lacked any of our needs. Like, God has been supplying every need.
Yeah.
And finding those things to truly be thankful for, just being grateful of the blessings, even though we may not have everything what we want, but we have all of our needs. So we're finding ways to be content, still laughing, smiling, laughing at these crazy kids.
Amen.
When they're doing crazy stuff, you're like, what? And then we look at each other and I say, you wanted these kids. You wanted all of them. These are your kids. Like, when they doing funny stuff, like, we just find moments in our crazy day to just laugh.
Amen.
Laugh at the little things, laugh at the simple things, because time moves so fast and you don't want to just constantly dwell and think about the things that you don't have. When you have so many blessings right now.
That's so good. That's so good. Wow. And laughter is key. Laughter is key. I thank God that my husband keeps me laughing. At first, I didn't think it was cute, though. I was like, you laughing at the wrong time. Like, this is not funny. Do you know what we're dealing with? But it really does give you, like, levity. It adds levity to your day, to your circumstances, to your life. So that's huge. And yes, I would definitely say just be ready to work. Be willing to work. You know, marriage is work. It is hard work, but it is so worth it. Like, it is a beautiful thing to see, to become one, to experience, to becoming one, you know, and to be loved the way Christ loves the church. Like, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's definitely hard. So be willing to do the work. And here's the thing. It takes two to work, which is why I cannot emphasize enough that you need to make sure that you are marrying a man or woman of God. Because the reality of it is, marriage is hard enough with Jesus. It's hard enough with Jesus.
Sure is.
It's I would venture to say impossible without him. Because, I mean, literally, there are times where, I mean, yes, communication is key. And there are just going to be times when you're not on the same page, or where your spouse isn't hearing you or can't see what you see or whatever. And I literally have to pray, Holy Spirit, reveal this. You know what I mean? Like, reveal it. If he needs to see it, or if I need to change, like, if he need to change or if I need to change, like, but Holy Spirit, you're going to have to do it. And he does it every time. But the reality of it is, if he ain't got the Holy Spirit, it's just you and that flesh. And that's not going to be fun at all. Like, at all. So I cannot emphasize enough the importance of having Christ at the center of your marriage. So yeah, be willing to work, be open to working. I would say, you know, always make time for fun. Like, date nights are key. Like, literally just making sure that you're consistently having time to, like, kick back and spend time with each other. And it may not look the way it did when y'all were first dating, you know, especially once kids become involved. Like, you want to make sure, though, that that time is still protected. You know, if it's just you Netflixing and chilling, or cooking dinner together, or whatever, like, making sure, though, that you have time where it's just the two of you and you're engaging with one another, spending time with one another, like, that is key.
You talked about the sacrifice component. I think that's real. And I'm going to add humility. Marriage takes humility. And I say that because I was raised as an only child. I rarely got told no. I was a good kid, but I was a spoiled kid. So I was used to getting my way. You know, I was the princess in my family, the oldest granddaughter, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, could do no wrong, whatever, you know. And two things. Number one, when me and my husband started dating, because we were already friends, he was like, I know you. Like, why you fronting, or why you blah, blah, blah? You know, why you putting forth a representative, as we were talking about, you know? And so that used to get on my nerves, because I was like, I'm trying to be cute, or I'm trying to, you know, I'm miss this, miss that, you know? But at the same time, because he already knew me, it was like, okay, you know, drop your pretenses, basically. And then once we got married, that iron starts sharpening iron. So if he saw a blind spot in me, or if I saw a blind spot in him, you have to be willing to receive from each other. Like, you have to be willing to receive that. The reality of it is, number one, you and your spouse are not the same. If you were, one of you would not be necessary. And number two, because you're not the same, God has gifted your spouse to see areas of growth in you that you don't see. They're literally called blind spots for a reason. And this goes both ways. So I'm not saying you have to be a punching bag, not literally, definitely, but just emotionally or spiritually, where it's always you. Like, you don't have to be the one who's always getting picked on or bullied or whatever, but it is definitely a give and take, where there, God may reveal things about your spouse to you that you need to share. And of course, being mindful how you share it. And then vice versa, you know, God may reveal things to your spouse about you that you need to receive. And so being humble enough to receive from one another, I think that is huge, 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 huge. And one thing that was shared during when we were going through premarital counseling, it was a statement that was made that I still take to heart today, where it's like, always believe that your spouse has your best interest at heart. Like, they want what's best for you. They love you. So they're not telling you this to hurt you. They're not telling you this to embarrass you. They're not telling you this to pick on you. They are telling you this because they want you to be better. They are telling you this because they want you to look like Jesus. And so really being mindful of that. And again, this goes back to, please make sure you are marrying a man or woman of God. It doesn't mean that they're always right, but it does mean that there are checks and balances in place to help them stay on track a little bit more often than not. So being willing to receive from your spouse, and that requires humility. And then I will also say accountability is key. Preferably if you can find another couple that you both are comfortable with. I know that can be challenging, because sometimes it's like, yo, I'm feeling, you know, me and the girl are cool, or me and the guy are cool, you know, or your husband and the guy are cool. But it's like, you know, where both you get along with the girl and your husband gets along with the guy, or both, whatever, you know, but where both of you are in agreement, like, this is a couple that we can both be vulnerable and transparent with, and where we can give them the ability to hold us accountable. You know, and you may need multiple couples depending on what the areas are, you know, which is perfectly fine. But either way, you want to make sure that you have people in your life that are that you give permission to hold you accountable in certain areas, you know, if not all, you give them permission, though, to hold you accountable. So accountability is key. Community is key. Having other couples around you that you can do life with together, because, again, marriage is hard. So it's great to have people that you're, you know, that you can talk to about certain things together, that you can encourage and support one another with together. So yeah, I think that's it. Humility, accountability, community, communication, consistent dating, intimacy, all of that. Yeah, I think that's it. All right. Anything else before we go into parenting?
I think that's it.
All right. Take it away.
So lessons in parenting, I would say to remember that each child is unique. They all have different needs, and you have to love them all, of course, but don't ever compare them, their strengths versus their challenges. Well, this kid can do this. This kid can't.
Yeah.
Like, love them for who they are and how God made them.
Amen.
And another lesson that we have been really learning and implementing this year is really getting into the Word of God with them and praying with them.
So good.
So this month we've been focusing on Mark 8 and 34. And so they've been memorizing that memory verse about denying, taking up your cross and denying yourself, and following after Christ, and really getting them to understand what that scripture means in the way that they can understand it. And so we also have this, we got this book for Christmas, and we're able to write down our prayer lists as a family. We sit around the table, we talk about what we're praying for this month. And then we go around the table and we pray, and each person prays. And now Mason, he will sit at the table, even though he doesn't really participate, but he'll at least sit and listen. So I think it's important that your children hear you pray, learn to pray, and then that you speak affirmations over your children, and then you also pray over your children in your quiet time and devotion, because I think sometimes the enemy tries to get you when you're young. And so I think it's so important for parents to be prayer warriors and praying over your children in advance over the different situations and challenges that they will have in the future or what they're currently going through. And it's important to really understand their world and what they're going through. And so it's important to have just conversations with them. And even if you're busy, like going to gymnastics or dance, like have conversations in the car on the way to different events, and minimize technology as much as possible. Getting them out of those devices, I think, is also super important as well. And I think that's pretty much the gist of some of the lessons that we've learned, and to correct them in love.
That's good. That's so good. Woo! This has been good, y'all, if I do say so myself. So, yes. Anything else before we get ready to close out?
Let's do our BE challenge.
Okay. So, y'all, we got all kind of categories. We done talked about self-love. We done talked about dating. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about parenting. So, hopefully, you were able to glean some kind of love lessons in something. You know, some, at least one love lesson should have stuck out to you. And so, the BE challenge for this week is for you to either learn, practice learning, I should say, or teaching a specific love lesson to someone else. Okay. So practice learning one of the love lessons or teaching one of the love lessons to someone else this month. Okay. Does that work? And feel free, let us know how it goes. We want to hear from you. If any of this resonated with you, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, feel free. Put it in the chat. We read them. I promise you. We respond. I promise you. Like, we are here for you. And so let us know, you know, let us know. And share some of your love lessons. So, yeah.
And get your merch.
Get your merch.
On the website at becomingeventoday.com. Check out our mugs, water bottles, totes, bags, and all the things. Always, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out on Facebook, follow us on IG, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out at becomingevatoday.com or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com. See you next time.